Good afternoon and welcome to the Raymond Hall Show. We are happy to be here in the studios, Mars Media Studios, here in the historic and iconic Leimert Park community. I am here with co-host Erica Flynn Walker, which is always a pleasure, and she is definitely a person about town. So,
good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Raymond Hall Show. Service where we have a different conversation.
Okay. We have a packed show for you today, and we have a really interesting guest for you. We have Mr. Danny Lasserman, who is the communications director for the Los Angeles County Democratic Party. So we're looking forward to that. And what do you have trending? What's going on in the community?
What's trending right now is new, this is out of Sacramento Watch, new elections law faces skepticism. Mm-hmm. Sacramento, a new statewide poll shows widespread voter opposition to a California law that allows counties to close polling places and instead rely on absentee ballots and a limited number of multi-purpose election centers. So that's our trending, our current event right now. That and if you'd like to chime in on that or ask any questions about that, please do call us at 323-293-3375. It looks like 61% of voters said that they didn't like the new idea of switching the voter centers.
You know, I thought it was interesting when I saw it. I actually I couldn't believe it. How, you know, voting is like one of the pillars of the community. Who voted for it? Who put it on the floor?
Where did it come from?
You know,
well, you know something, it pretty much it says here that according to the poll released on Tuesday by UC Davis, California's Civic Engagement Project, voters are not intentionally receptive to vote centers.
Yeah, I don't even know what a voting center is.
Right. That's a new, I guess, a new term for where we go when we vote, you know, previously. So during the presentation in Sacramento, there are 14 counties eligible to use the new rule in 2018. So we're really going to have to pay attention to this so that we can follow up, because it's going to be, look like, going into effect in 2018, which is
a
few months from now.
And then a couple of years from that, everybody can use it to, and they want to get rid of the voting places in the community.
They want to move away. It specifically says here, counties being able to join them and move away from neighborhood polling places 2 years later in 2020. Eek! So, like I said, that's our current trending event that we would like for you to stay abreast of.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that 2020 just happened to be when the next presidential election is? Okay, you're gonna get rid of all the elections and then hide. I mean, you're gonna do the mail. I didn't get the mail.
Right.
And you're gonna get rid of the polling places.
And everything is supposedly going to be done as an absentee, you know, voting type of new regular way that we're going to vote.
Yeah. We remember Florida and the Hanging Chad, and we still are in the midst of the Russian hacking. And now you're trying to take it a whole step further. Hey, we just going to close everything.
Right.
Yeah, that is really, really interesting.
Well, across, but this poll found skepticism across a number of suburbs of voters, both by ethnically and age. 8 to 10 of the voters surveyed said they typically traveled 10 minutes or less to do their polling place, a distance that could grow in counties that switched their voting centers. So it's all about the location, your age, and your distance is what they're saying. They're going to change it based upon.
Right. This article was found in the Los Angeles Times under the section called the Sacramento Watch.
Okay.
And it was authored by John Myers. So we have to say that and give Mr. Myers credit for bringing that
information to
our attention. That's important because, you know, the elder community and not just the elders, one of the things that I do is when I get my book, I look to see where I'm supposed to go and vote. Okay.
Right, because it can't change. But I found that that was the most interesting part. You get to go to the voting station that you choose, which is in your neighborhood. You probably see your neighbors.
Right.
You can take your grandkids, which is what I do.
Right.
And then we get the little
sticker.
We get the sticker. So that means we're not going to get the sticker anymore? What
does
that mean?
They say I voted. I like that sticker.
Me too.
You know, I put that little sticker on the, and put it in the bowl with the rest of the stickers.
Right. So I guess we're going to have to ask them, are they going to give us send us a sticker? What happened? Did they dismiss the sticker too or what?
I don't know, but sounds like another one of those reasons why you should read the Constitution to me.
Back to that preamble and that Constitution.
I don't know whether we the people had anything to do with that. What else is going on?
That's currently trending? Oh, this is something that's pop culture trending that one of our people that is a part of our community, who is Floyd Mayweather. He has just joined the Billionaires Club. Were you familiar with that?
No. From that last fight?
This was trending on the Black Enterprise magazine where there's a Billionaires Club, and he has just joined it. And the two other people that are already there, can you guess who they are?
I know Oprah Winfrey's there.
No.
It's
the Men's Billionaire Club.
Oh, the Men's Billionaire Club.
Two other people. Take a guess.
The man that wrote to Trump, Russell Simmons.
No.
Oh, well, I'm going to shut up.
Okay, the other two people that he's joined are Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. That is interesting.
Yes. So that's my new. I thought that was a fun trending topic.
That is incredible.
Right, billionaires, not million, billion.
So who? I mean, Magic Johnson. None of them cats. They not on there. Oh my God.
This article where I received this information was the Black Enterprise magazine, which is a very reputable and well-known magazine. Huh. So we'll do some more research on that, but that was just one of the things that I thought that I'd bring.
Yeah.
To the Raymond Hall Show to let us all know, speaking on those billionaires in the house, which again is Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan,
yeah.
And now Mr. Floyd Mayweather.
And they treated the Woods so bad the last time. He was pulled over asleep, a little tipsy. They had all kind of pictures of it. Man, how you gonna treat a billionaire that way?
You think they knew he was a billionaire when they did that to him?
He
took him to jail, gave him the snapshot and everything.
Yeah, probably drinking some things that we can't afford.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but speaking of that, I was just kind of surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the internet has made it possible to just, you see so much interesting stuff.
Yes.
I don't know who the two people were. One was something or something, and the other one was something. But he was talking about, he was in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and he joined his boys, and he just bought his Ferrari.
Who?
And his boys told him, man, is that your girl's car? I said they was clowning him because he bought a Ferrari. So he immediately hadn't had the car for 2 weeks or 2 days or mm-hmm. something, went and got a Bugatti because everybody had a Bugatti. And they asked him, how much money did he roll with? He said he usually rolled with 100 G's.
Wow.
In his pocket money, 100 G's.
So you can put $100,000 in one pocket?
No, he had the little pouches and everything.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
It started by they asked him a question, how much was the last check that he got?
Mm.
And he said the last check that he got was $100 million.
Wow.
Okay. You know, I don't know nothing about hip hop, so
was a part of the pop culture.
I like Bugatti. So you know, he said he placed the bet, and the man lost the bet, and the bet was $1 million, and he wanted him a Maybach.
Right, he wanted a Maybach, which is the top high end of the Mercedes,
right? Mm-hmm. And say it was 1.5, so he took the man's million and put a half a million of his and went got the car that he wanted. I said, that's all right, okay.
Well, you know what? God bless their hearts to be able to have that type of money to work with. You know, that's what I one day hope that I would be able to say. You know, I have that kind of money to be able to purchase a car.
Yeah.
One purchase.
One of the things that I was paying attention to, I was absolutely elated because someone somewhere along the way had given service that allowed these young men to be, and it was some young ladies there too.
Right.
They asked him what was the one thing he wished he had done, and evidently he was the first one to say bling bling. And he said he wished he had copyrighted bling bling. And I was just thinking about our show here,
right,
that talks about service. And that's a clear demonstration of what service does. Somebody else has given service along the way, and here young people are able to create the kind of music and create the kind of things that allow them to own music and own their labels and things when another time they would.
Which as far as economics is concerned, is very, it's inspiring and motivating to know that these, you know, there are people that are economically solid that can make certain choices based on the choices that they've made to be put in that position.
Yeah. Well, we're going to move on. There's a couple of things going on with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and, you know, we definitely want to mention that the president initiated an overhaul, he says, from top to bottom for the Department of Veterans Affairs. I have not gotten a chance to read all of the detail and digest what it really means, but they have made changes to the education part. And we're going to be bringing that information to you in coming weeks as we find out a little bit more about it. And here's some information that was handed to me. I don't know. I haven't vetted it, and I guess I should want to vet it. But the source that it was handed me to is pretty credible, so I'm going to go ahead and just let you know it. On September the 20th, from 6:30, financial management workshops for veterans. The workshop instructor is E.J. Pierce at Vortex on Olympic. Now, I don't even know who this person is. I don't know if I don't know what kind of record that they have, but I will say this. One of the things that has always been concerned to me is when the VA does finally award veterans their benefits, their back pay, sometimes it can be very sizable.
Okay.
You're talking about six figures, and we're not talking about low six. We're talking way up there in the six. And two people come to mind, but I hear it happens more often than not, that because the people didn't get any instructions on how to handle the money in a short period of time, they find themselves right back where they were before they got, you know, they got the money and they got their check that comes in now. But how do you go through, you know, six figures in a short period of time?
What do you consider a short period of time? Like some years, a few years?
Well, I know a cat that went through it in less than a year.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm not going to put his business out there, but, you know, they gave him a couple hundred thousand and you know, in less than a year, he was back in the place where his bank account, what I'm saying, he will never be back in the place because he gets a service-connected check every month.
Okay.
But it's just a nice thing to be able to look and know that you struggled for something for 10, 15, 17 years. And then after you get it, you spend it.
Right. Well, he must have, if he had 10 years to wait on it, then I'm sure he had to have a plan on when he received the money, what were the top 10 things he planned on doing with the money. You think that was a part of it, or he just did it randomly?
I think that I think that he, along with a lot of other veterans, acted in the moment.
Okay.
I've tried working with a lot of veterans when I know that their benefits are about to be deposited in their bank account, to simply say, before it gets deposited in your bank account, think about what you're going to do.
Right.
think about what you need to do and what you want to do and mm-hmm. those kind of things. So you find a lot of friends when they know that money is coming.
But they say the same thing applies to the people that win the lottery, because they have whole stories.
That's true.
You know, basically, that say that people that win all this money, somehow if they don't have some type of financial services representative, that they may end up
back where they were.
Right. You know, so what we have to do is, you know, be hopeful that when someone is waiting for the money, when they get the money, good thing is to have a plan for the money.
Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, I don't know anything about this particular workshop, not at all, and I want to make that very clear, because I'm very careful when it comes to referring people, especially veterans, to financial workshops and those kind of things.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks for that information. Okay, we're going to be taking a caller right now, and we'd like to... Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Mr. Danny Lesserman?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. Thank you very much.
All right, Danny, good afternoon. And this is Raymond Hall, and you're here with Erica Flynn Walker and myself. And we want to thank you again for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me, Raymond and Erica.
Okay. We want to give you just a little bit of information about Mr. Lesserman. He, first of all, on such a short notice, he agreed to be with us today, and I was so elated. I was actually calling about something else, and we wound up talking about the show, so I owe him a double thanks.
Yes, thank you
yes,
so much.
Yes, yes.
No problem.
Born and raised in Los Angeles and a descendant of Eastern European Jews who fled the Nazis, we've heard a little too much about them still being around. But Danny has chosen a life of service to causes that deserve our attention. That's all of our attention. That's what we were talking about, service. It's in his record, a life of service that deserve our attention and that affect people in unfathomable ways. Born to a father who is an engineer for a water district and mother who is a public high school teacher, Danny decided on a path of service and advocacy for his career.
Sounds good. Mr. Danny's been very busy. Mr. Danny Lesserman is the Director of Communications for the Los Angeles County Democratic Party. He has been working in the Democratic Party as far as activism since he began his professional career upon graduating from the University of California, Riverside, where he studied economics and applied physics.
Okay. Danny, thank you again, and we want to open up the mic to you so you can greet us all and share with us what's on your heart and on your mind right now.
Well, thank you so much, Raymond and Erica. One of the important things I wanted to talk about today was the decision by the president and his administration to end the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Okay.
As you probably already know, it was a program instated by former President Barack Obama to ensure that children who were brought here illegally have the opportunity to stay. They had no choice in the matter of whether or not they were going to come to America. And in almost every instance, America is the only home that they know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we live in a society where most of us pride ourselves on not blaming children for the sins of their fathers.
Correct.
And so what happened the other day was an unnecessarily cruel and unusual policy rescission by the president and his administration, announced by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has his own history when it comes to issues pertaining to immigration and things of that nature.
Right.
So what happened was he's announced a six-month phase-out of the entire program.
Okay.
Now, he claims that the reason for this is so that Congress can act and provide some sort of, some sort of different method to make this happen for the people who were brought here when they were minors. But again, as much as anything that comes out of that White House, it doesn't make a lot of sense to say something like that, because for a number of reasons, it doesn't require funding from the budget. It's a completely self-funded program that gets all its money just from the application fees that these Dreamers pay to be DACA eligible.
Okay.
And so, there's no evidence at all that the DACA recipients commit any crimes. In fact, one of the prerequisites is that they cannot be criminals. They cannot have committed crimes in almost any capacity in order to even be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all economists actually say that this program has benefited the U.S. economy. It's increased labor force participation, it's increased wages all around, but especially for migrant workers,
mm-hmm.
and it's reduced the number of unauthorized immigrants living in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been almost no detriments to this program and so many positive outcomes that have positively impacted all of us. When the economy does well, we all do well.
That's correct.
And when everyone is participating and has a job and takes home a good living wage, everybody does better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted to say to all the listeners out there right now is that, especially if they are Dreamers themselves, that especially if they're in California, that first of all, do not worry, do not panic. We are fighting on your behalf. Almost every representative up and down the state at any level, from the highest federal position in California all the way down to dog catcher, has your back.
Okay.
And we are fighting tirelessly to ensure that they will be able to stay here and live within the means that they have been living under this program.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you a question, Mr. Lesman. Well, I wanted to follow up on something that you said, which is pretty much 100% of the people that are connected or have filed an application, 100% of them have no criminal records. 91% of them are gainfully employed. And the DACA participants are saving people in Houston. There and DACA participants are everywhere in our lives. It's approximately 800,000 of them. So I think that the numbers speak for themselves. With 91% of gainfully employment, that's really excellent.
And that's absolutely
that's
correct.
Than
and actually, the
campus.
Other
mm-hmm.
absolutely. And actually, the other 9% are simply still in school.
Right.
I mean, these are some phenomenal numbers that we could probably use to apply some in some other places.
Well, the problem here is not the success of the program.
Okay.
The problem is number 45.
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. And, Danny, let me say this, that we here at the Raymond Hall Show, we are aligning ourselves with the Los Angeles County Democratic Party's energies and efforts to stand with you all, everyone that's standing against this thing. So anything that we can do here on the broadcast, just let us know, and we are going to stand with this. I agree with you. It's the most cruel and inhumane thing that has come across, because these are children.
Right. And then is there also some information concerning if they were to have it their way, what would happen to this 800,000 people? What is there a plan there? They're just going to say you have to leave, or do they give any follow up on the initial decision to stop it within 6 months?
They're here illegally.
Unfortunately, the the worst that they could do is the worst thing that you could might be able to imagine, is that they would actually put together some sort of task force or some sort of group, and they would actually actively seek out and deport these people who were originally here undocumentedly and then here legally under DACA, mm-hmm. and now not so much so. Mm-hmm. But I would not dwell on that.
Okay.
There's a good saying I've been told throughout my life was that, you know, you prepare for the worst, but you hope for the best.
Okay. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't go so far as to tell people that that is a real concern, mm-hmm. especially in California, where all of us, and quite frankly, many Republicans, especially in California, in addition to every single Democrat, is actively fighting against this repeal, this awful rescission of DACA.
Right.
And the most important thing all of us can do, if we are concerned, is press every member of Congress to ensure that this repeal doesn't happen. Because remember, it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. It's being phased out over the next 6 months. Mm-hmm.
You know, we keep hearing different things. What the White House floated was that they did this to push Congress to come up with a more cohesive program. That was the way they floated it through the Attorney General. Now, what does cohesive program mean? What is it that they're looking to do if they're not just looking to, strip the bill?
Well, there are any number of ways for a president to get Congress to push forward legislation, and a president that wanted to work with the Congress and had any room to work with Congress would be able to do so without ripping apart the rights of
human beings,
children.
You're right.
And so, you know, what he tried to do, the way he explains it and the way the Attorney General explains it, is that they want to push for some sort of solution to occur within the budget.
Mm-hmm.
However, this was an executive order that was completely self-funded, so they did not have to phase out the program in order to get Congress to do something, because it was completely separate.
Ah, okay.
Congress, you could push Congress to push forth meaningful legislation, and then once that happens, once they have something in place to ensure that DACA recipients will receive the care and rights that they deserve and that they have under DACA, then you can phase that out and have them under whatever plan Congress would put forth.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, and what makes this unnecessarily cruel for mm-hmm. conservatives and Democrats alike is mm-hmm. that they're trying to strip away the rights of these children first,
mm-hmm.
and then get Congress to act on it.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. And
then we're going to be right back with you. Can you stay with us, Mr. Lesser?
Yes, he's going to be with us for a while.
I'll stick around.
Okay, thanks a lot. We're going to take a short break. And I like to say, at the Raymond Hall Show, service a different conversation. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at theraymondhallshow.com. Also, We are streaming on a podcast at theraymondhallshow.com. We'll be right back.
Yes. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Mr. Lasserman about health care, and we're going to talk a little bit about Charlottesville as well. We want to touch on those things. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Thank you. And we are back Director of Communications, Mr. Danny Lasserman.
Of the Los Angeles Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? Are you still there, Mr. Lasserman?
What's wrong with you guys?
Okay, very good. Thanks for being here with us again at the Raymond Hall Show. What we're going to do now is we're going to talk about, in this segment, about the hurricane that we just experienced, the Hurricane Harvey, along with the upcoming new hurricane on the horizon, which is Irma. So can you tell us a little bit about your feelings on the Hurricane Harvey situation that we have going on right now, Mr. Lasserman?
Absolutely. I just want to say on behalf of, you know, the Democratic Party and probably Americans everywhere,
yes,
that, you know, we are doing everything, and not just Americans, let's be honest, all around the world.
Right.
People are seeing the devastation that Harvey has caused,
yes,
and that Irma is causing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are concerned for the people living in the Gulf of Mexico and off the Atlantic, where this is happening, and in the Caribbean. It just broke just a few minutes ago that Hurricane Irma has already caused at least 3 fatalities in the U.S. territories, off of Florida in the Caribbean, and they're calling the damage catastrophic.
Mm.
So it's a really, really dire situation. I am ecstatic that, you know. I'm happy. Our president was able to do the one thing the other day that he promised, that he said he was great at, but we haven't seen that yet. He actually made a deal. He actually, you know, spoke with Democrats and, you know, raised the debt ceiling
in order
to get funding to the victims of Hurricane Harvey, and hopefully the same will happen for the victims of Hurricane Irma.
Mm-hmm.
We're also ecstatic to see that the legislature approved this funding, because I don't know if you recall, but when Katrina occurred, the 2 senators from Texas, one of them being Ted Cruz,
right,
actually voted against the funding.
I remember
Katrina.
It very well.
He voted against funding. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. He claimed he voted against it because he said there was too much pork in it.
Tell us about the fact that there was something put in place, our president had put in place for flood control, for something about the flood control, or a bill that was already in place that the current president repealed, or he did not sign. Several days before the Hurricane Harvey arrived on the coastline.
You know, this is something that is just further evidence that we have the most, among other things, the most short-sighted president, and at least from what I can recall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is a guy who said, hey, that the hurricane hasn't hit yet. Mm-hmm. The damage is just going to be so-and-so. We've already got safeguards in place, right?
Right.
Why put all this extra money into it, which is completely ludicrous.
Right. Right.
And so it's almost everything that's happened, be it, you know, with Hurricane Harvey, be it with, you know, transgenders in the military, be it with the repeal of DACA or anything else that he's done since he was inaugurated, is just evidence of a short-sighted president who cares about nothing than appeasing the lowest of his base, while the rest of us are trying to ensure that everyone has equal rights and opportunity to live to the best of their ability.
Yeah. We are going to get into it a little later on if we have enough time, but I think not only has he caused harm by dismantling some of the safety net, but he has also enabled harm, because his those statements, I never, it's some things that you just don't expect to see.
Right.
And someone running for president and people of color coming to his rally and then getting assaulted, and then he says, well, I'll pay the bill for you to get out of jail. It's just, I heard someone say that they were hoping for the best, but they were quickly losing.
But we have to keep hope alive. We can't just say, well, the way I look at it is, if he gets everything he wants, then how does that, what does that look like for me and for the rest of we the people? If everything, if you rescind everything and you pull everything back and your agenda is moved forward, then what does that look like for me? So I have to still be hopeful and have a positive outlook in spite of everything. But I do can say that the fact that the hurricane came on the shores a few days after he did it, made him have to see himself.
Right. Well, Danny, this is new for you, but everybody knows that I'm one of those slow Southern. I can call myself a boy at 65, but I'm gonna tell you, it's a funny thing. I remember college days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're so busy, you don't go to the wash house, because back then, the wash house is at the other end mm-hmm. of the dorm thing. Mm-hmm. And I messed around, and I had one pair of underwear in the drawer, goodness. And the only reason it was there, because it was too tight. Sometimes you got to be reminded.
Yes, and that's
things.
What, exactly, and that's
and
what
we
I believe.
Got
he
slow.
Was reminded. He was yeah. reminded by but that bill being so close and him rescinding it or not signing it, and then 7-10 days later you have this hurricane, you can't do anything but just look at yourself and say,
well, you're right. You're absolutely
and
right
I think
about
it's,
that.
I think it's a good thing that this, not it's a good thing that it happened, but the way it happened, because you just pay attention to, you know, the way things are showing themselves right now. So yeah. We're going to stay.
Well, look, let me get to this. You're right for it to happen, but that wasn't what I was talking about.
What were you talking
what
about?
What I was talking about is that we went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that he's in at 1600, we went to sleep. We didn't keep going down to the wash house and making sure we was doing the laundry. We just went to sleep. So now, as Danny and I was talking, for the next 4 years, that's why you and I are here, service. For those who didn't listen to some of the earlier program, we did a show on We the People.
We the People, yes.
And in order to form a more perfect
union.
And for 4 years, I mean, for 4 years to come, Danny, that's a part of who we are, to get people to understand that this is not about the 1600. It's not about Congress. It's about we the people.
Coming
They're
together.
Supposed to be in service
for
to us.
Exactly.
Right. So I know that was a kind of long way to come about it, you know. Nobody wants to hear about the drawing.
Right. However, yeah, the point
just,
is, we the people.
That took so long. Let's see if I can remember everything you guys said.
Man,
so
oh, my goodness. Okay. But the point is, we need to get people back to service, because voting is a reasonable service.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the whole point of the matter. So we got 4 years. Okay.
Well, maybe, Paul, you know what? Hopefully at most we have 4 years.
True.
Provided no certain legal actions are taken.
Well,
to make it any shorter.
Well, we'll keep praying for that one, I know. Okay.
Well, right. in response to what you, I'm going to try and quickly respond to a couple of things. When mm-hmm. earlier when you said, I agree with you when you mentioned talk about how Trump has, made it okay for certain kinds of speech, awful kinds of speech, and
right.
awful actions regarding that speech to occur.
Mm-hmm.
I would go even further. I would say that he has emboldened
mm-hmm.
the people and those feelings
mm-hmm.
and given them a stage, given them a soapbox, made it okay for the people to be violent and be hateful and be discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's an awful time when, you know, we have to talk, when we have to look people in the eye and seriously try to convince them that white nationalists and Nazis are bad people
mm.
because our president is you know, saying that they're just as bad as the people who are fighting against them.
Right.
You know,
I didn't understand that at all. I just didn't understand how he could draw that analogy.
Nobody understands.
Yeah, that what we saw in history from the Nazis and is just horrific. What people endured, and I respectfully say to you that our hearts is with the times of those that are before us and mm-hmm. Those that served and met horrific ends to their lives at Mad Men. And I'll tell you the truth. I thought that this thing was put to bed back in the 60s. I really mm-hmm. did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that there was a few of them somewhere around. I didn't know they was running around in uniforms and okay.
Mm-hmm. I thought we all got the message after 1945.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was trying to, with respect, talk about the millions of people that lost their lives at the hands of those madmen. I mean, it's hard even after 70 years to look at all of those human beings to be treated that way. And then here's this thing is still around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right. And it started with just that one person, and it was the people that he had around him also, and that's very important, you know. So we have to really pay attention to our history, like you said, Mr. Sessions. You mentioned his name when you first when we first started the interview, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. several other people that are part of the cabinet mm-hmm. of Mr. Trump have questionable agendas.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
those things together with Mr. Trump brings us to where we are now. So, you know, what do you suggest that is something that we can do,
a
course of action,
yeah.
moving forward, Mr. Lesserman?
Well, before I mention that, I want Mr. Hall mentioned that this has been over 70 years mm-hmm. since, you know, that war occurred. I would also add that it's been 150 years since, you know, the Civil War occurred.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. And so if 70 years is a ridiculous amount of time to still be following these evil people, mm-hmm. 150 years to still be commemorating traitors to the Union and murderers
and treasonous mm-hmm. actions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You mm-hmm. know, people who actively fought against the United States.
Right.
And fought on behalf of awful ideals of slavery and supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just as strange to me.
It
to
is.
To be honest with you. In response to it, it's difficult because we're not really prepared. Well, we weren't really prepared to have to, you know, defend ourselves idealistically against Nazis and
right.
white supremacists. It's absurd that
right.
we have to do that.
Right.
Like, so no one was prepared to have to do that.
Right.
And, you know, the normal safeguards have always been there. You know, that we learn in schools and about this sort of stuff, and we were taught early on that no one is supposed to be better than anyone else.
Correct.
By virtue of their birth or mm-hmm. the color of their skin
mm-hmm.
or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a tricky time figuring out exactly what the most effective way to deal with this is, especially
yeah.
when the guy with the loudest microphone on the planet is saying that they're just as bad as the people who are against them.
Yeah. Well, I have one thing in mind, and this is why truly Mrs. Walker sometimes just suffer with me, because I can get on one, I know, in a minute. This transplant allowed me to see something, this heart transplant. I'm not required to do everything, but I am required to do something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Lasserman, what you and the Los Angeles County Democratic Party do, you all are at the forefront, and we are here to help carry that message.
Right.
We are here to help on a weekly basis, or even because we're streaming live, mm-hmm. we are carrying that message. So when someone raises up with that foolishness, that was what was so important about the preamble.
Right.
It didn't say to form a perfect, it says to form a more perfect.
Because we know it's not going to be perfect.
It's not going to be perfect.
But we would like tranquility.
Right.
We would like to be blessed. We would like to be feel safe.
Right.
The same things that are mentioned in that preamble.
Right. So if a person were to read the preamble to the Constitution, and the Constitution, the First Amendment, I mean, say something about the Second Amendment. Boy, you say something about the Second Amendment, folk come up out of the emergency room on ventilators. Don't you touch my gun. Okay. So if you can understand the Second Amendment, then you can understand the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And the First Amendment is simply saying that we, the people, it has defined us.
Right.
And it has says, look to a point further than you.
Right.
That you should reach to for all people. Mm-hmm. And someone that's just stuck in their great-great-grandfather's day, I just don't have a lot of sympathy for that. I don't have to distort truth, to distort, to be insultive. I just lost something when I saw that man run over that woman with that car. It angered me. It did a lot of things to me because, as I've said before, I don't have the right to be happy, but I do have the right to live.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Somebody can make me happy, but I don't have mm-hmm. a right to be happy. But I do have a right to live. You don't have a right because of what's in your head to get in a car and run over me. You just don't have that right.
Absolutely. And it's actually, you know, written in the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, it is.
Right.
It's, you know, you have the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The first one is life.
Yeah.
First one
before,
is life.
Before liberty, before pursuit of happiness.
Okay.
The government says that you have the inalienable right to life. And it says person, not citizen.
Right.
They were very careful to make the distinction in the Declaration and the Constitution.
Yes.
That
okay.
people...
Now, if you don't mind, let's shift a minute and let's talk about health care for just a second. We're running out of a little time. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes left, but I definitely want to give enough time so we can have a substantive conversation, or you can inform us about
right
healthcare.
On the single payer. Tell us a little something about the single payer aspect of the health care initiative.
So the Democratic Party supports single-payer health care. It's on the platform for Los Angeles County, California, and the DNC, the national platform for the Democratic Party. It's essentially, for those who don't know, it's, you know, just you pay your taxes, and part of that is health care.
Okay. Like
there's a huge debate. There always has been ever since health care has become an institution. Whether or not people have the right to health care or the privilege of access to health care.
Hmm.
The Democratic Party believes that you should not go into debt or bankruptcy just because you get sick.
And a lot of people
that
have.
We believe that is an absurdity.
Yes.
And you shouldn't be denied care because you're at risk of, you know, getting sick or injured. And one of the justifications we have for that is actually the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Right there in the preamble, just like you mentioned.
We right on point, Mr. Lasserman.
We're coming full circle.
Exactly.
Right.
It says in the preamble of the Constitution, it says that the federal government's job is to promote the
welfare.
General welfare.
Yes, promote the general welfare. It's in there.
Yes.
It's right in there.
Yes,
and
it
is. That is the government. It is the government's job to do that. And, like, of course, who can say that health care and access to health care and access, and especially if you have the technology and the resources to do it, which the United States does,
mm-hmm.
then it's not a question of whether or not we should, but it's a question of how are we going to do it in mm-hmm. our eyes. Because mm-hmm. it's right there in the preamble that says we need to promote the general welfare.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, in the Declaration of Independence, like we mentioned earlier, it says that everyone has the right to life. And so if that's an inalienable right, why should a company be allowed to decide whether or not, A, that I get health care, and B, whether or not that it's something I can afford?
Mm.
So it's interest. It shows a lot about the power of large corporations and those kinds of institutions that we are not having a discussion of how, but a discussion of whether or not we still should.
Right.
And so, you know, we're working hard to try and get it. Kamala Harris, the senator from California, the freshman senator from California,
mm-hmm.
has recently came out and said that she would sponsor a single-payer health care bill in the United States Senate.
Okay.
So it's a slow process, but we're getting there.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to invite you back and
Absolutely.
Invite other members back. We're running just completely out of time. Danny, Mr. Lassman, if you would, give us quickly some contact. If people wanted to contact the L.A. County Democratic Party, they wanted to get more information or wanted to join, what would they do?
Mm-hmm. Well, right off the bat, we have our social media accounts. We have we're on Facebook and Twitter at LA Democrat.
Okay.
If you wanted a more direct access, you could call our office located in right in the middle of Los Angeles. It's at 213-382-0063.
Okay.
Or send me an email.
Okay.
DannyLesserman@lacdp.org.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you so very much for coming to the show. The show is The Raymond Hall Show, A Different Conversation with Erica Flynn Walker. And we try to make sure that we have the kind of dialogue that
people need to hear. Right,
yeah.
Right. That we
so,
all hear.
Yeah, so we want to thank you, and we are going to say goodbye because we are down to the last 2 minutes.
Thank you, and we appreciate your service and taking our call today.
Okay.
Thank you guys very much. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time.
No, that's what we just love
wanted.
To invite you to come back again.
We want to invite you to come back and what the man said, bring a friend.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. Anytime.
We'll talk to you later, Daddy. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank
you
a great
both
day.
So much.
Okay.
Bye
bye. Wow, that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was good. And he brought up our girl Kamala Harris. And then who would have known? He came right back to everything we were talking about with the preamble.
Yeah. Well, we got about a minute now. So anything you want to say with 30 seconds or so?
No, I just want to say thank you for being with us today at the Raymond Hall Show, where we have a different conversation. You can follow us at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at theraymondhallshow.com. My name is Erica Flynn Walker, and I will see you next week. Thanks a lot. Ta-ta.
Okay. This is Raymond Hall with Mrs. Erica Flynn Walker, and we're here because we want to give service. Service is the one thing that if you look across this nation, if you look through the history of this nation, people have given service so that we would be able to do what we do today. And it was with one thing in mind. They gave service so we would be able to serve. So as you go about your day, as you go about your week, have some service. Be of service to someone. And as you be of service to someone else, both the person you be of service to and you will be blessed. This is Raymond Hall with the Raymond Hall Show with Erica Flynn Walker, and we are going to say until next time.
Ta-ta. See you next week.
Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram, and SoundCloud at theraymondhallshow.com.
Bye.